your Bibles, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You have probably memorized these verses sometime along your Christian walk. These are the second verse, or the first verse here is what I have claimed as my own life verse. There's a lot of joy in this first verse and a big challenge. And we're going to talk about that today in Sunday school and probably for the next few weeks on what we can do. Obviously, there's nothing you can do to get saved except ask the Lord to save you. All that's been paid for. But as you read these first two verses, I want you to understand I'm not going to preach at you. I'm not going to be harsh when it comes to this. I'm going to implore you. I'm going to beg you, because that's what this verse is doing. If you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore. This is a begging. This is a cry for help. This is a thought of, please, folks, whatever comes next, I want you to understand. I want you to understand in a way that I'm not mad. I want you to understand that there is a job to do. There is a cause. And that cause is greater than anything else that is coming in our lives. If you got saved, that cause came to you. If you got saved, we ought not sit here and say it's okay for me just to be saved and do nothing else with the rest of my life. If you look at Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, it starts out with, I beseech you therefore, brethren. These are the people that are saved. He's not preaching to lost folks here. He's preaching to saved folks. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And it's going to take mercy. It's going to take mercy for you to be able to serve God and stay with it. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to start with that verse simply because I want you to understand that there is a thought that you've got to come to in your mind when you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look in the mirror and say you can't. A lot of people start there. A lot of people come to the conclusion in their lives because of their past, because of who they were, because of who they are right now, because of what they're going through, because of the things that have happened in their life, because of their family situation, because of their monetary situation, the things that they've gone through in their life, they can't serve God. I'm going to tell you right now, you can serve God. He didn't save you, Brother Edwards, so you can't serve Him. He didn't save you because He wants you to sit down and do nothing. He didn't save you because you're unable. He didn't save you because you're not capable. You're not smart enough. You're not rich enough. You're not wise enough. Let me help you out. None of us are. Not one person in this room is intelligent enough to serve the Lord. Not one person in this room is good enough to serve the Lord. Not one person in this room is so needed by God that the whole kingdom of heaven had to stop just to get you on board. Hey, there's a lot of preachers out there that'll tell you, it's a good thing that God saved me. No, God saved a wretched sinner when He saved me. When God looked down from the cross and saw me in the future, and I don't know how He did this, but He knew I was coming. He said, that's a fella I can use. He didn't save me because I was so good at it. He saved me because He could use me. He didn't save me so I could sit. He didn't save me so I could think of myself higher than I ought to think of myself. Because there's teaching in the Bible against that. He saved me so I could be a servant of the Most High God. The most esteemed and great position you could ever have in your life is the attitude of servitude towards Jesus Christ. The Bible begs you in this first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, along your way of service, you are going to find that you need the mercy of God on your life. As you serve the Lord, you are going to find that you have drawbacks. You are going to find that you have valleys. You are going to find that you have low points. You are going to find that you meet adversity. You are going to find that the flesh is going to battle you every step of the way of your service. When you get up in the morning, because we're going to go out soul winning this summer. I understand the weather was bad and a lot of us stayed back. But don't you think it's about time you got involved again? Don't you think it's about time that you go with us door to door again? Don't you think it's about time that we start putting packets on doors again? Don't you think it's about time? And you say, well, I'm too old, I can't walk. We'll drive you. The days are growing short, and someone came to you. The days are growing short, and you've got the truth. There's a lot of churches that are going out today spreading false rumors and things that are going to send people straight to hell. We got the truth. We're handing out truth. We're telling truth. And we're the ones that have it and won't go out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, He'll go with you. And you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Let God speak through you. You say, well, what if He says wrong things? I don't think God's going to say anything wrong. And here's what we'll do, I promise you. We'll send you with the blabbermouth. If you don't know what you're going to say, we'll team you up with a blabbermouth. And we'll let them go to the door, the blabbermouth. And you'll just sit there and be with them as a moral support, hopefully in prayer while they're speaking with somebody. Listen, folks, it's not good enough that we've got four going out anymore. It's not good enough. It's not good enough because we've got soul winners in here. And I understand, well, Brother Dave, I'm just going to let you know, I don't come out on Saturdays, but I go soul winning every day of my life. Well, praise the Lord. Come out on Saturday. Come out on Saturday. Give an hour of your time. Give a half an hour of your time. Go and tell somebody about the Lord that told you. Go tell somebody about Lord Jesus Christ because somebody had to take their time to let you know. And I'm going to tell you, the days are growing short so fast. How do we change the world? The only way to change the world is to get them saved. That's it. There's no other way to change the world. You're not going to change the world through politics. You're not going to change the world through policy. You're not going to change the world by standing up on a rooftop and shouting your guts out. You're going to change the world by getting people saved and letting them know about the wonderful Savior that we know. Sometimes we take our salvation for granted. Sometimes we see the vision of heaven and it takes our eyes off the harvest. Sometimes we see these streets of gold that we're going to be walking on and realize they're streets of pavement that we should be walking on. It's easy to do. Everybody's done it. Everybody gets to a point in their life where they're just too busy. And I got to agree with you. If you can't devote any time to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a servant, you're too busy. You're too busy in the things of the world and the things of this life, which are very soon going to be past, which are very soon going to be gone. And when you read these verses, it's speaking to the person individually. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, it's talking to you, Coolidge, ye, present your body. It didn't ask you to present my body. Hello? Jordan, the Bible doesn't ask me to present your body. It asks my body, mine. I can't give your body. I can give my body. I can give my body to servitude. I can give my body to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. I can give my body to showing up when the prayer time comes. I can give my body to showing up when the soul winning time comes. In the fall, I'd like to start the Institute up again. Will you present your body to learn about Jesus Christ? So you've got to understand something. We are in a battle today, and I believe with all my heart that what is losing the battle is not the devil. What is losing the battle is not how powerful he is. What's losing the battle is how lackluster we've become. The devil's got no hold over you. Let me say that again. The devil's got no hold over you. Unless you allow the devil to have hold over you. unless you allow the devil to make your day runner, unless we allow the devil to keep us from doing what the Lord would have us to do. You got to understand something. We've got a battle right here that this Bible's talking about. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, I'd die for the Lord. That's not what he's asking. He's asking you to live for him. Have him on your mind. What can I do? If you've got to be honest with yourself, somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you're wondering just how real heaven is. And I'm going to be honest with you. I see parts of what the Bible speaks of what heaven's going to be like, but we have no idea, really, what heaven's going to be like. But the Bible is a little bit more specific on what hell's going to be like. And as we think about what the Bible speaks of hell, by the way, the Lord spoke about hell a lot more than he spoke about heaven. My question is this. If the Lord speaks about hell more than he speaks about heaven, I wonder if we should be more cognizant of what hell really is. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm asking you a question. You're saved. You're not going to hell. But hell does exist. And the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. And my question is, why haven't the baptismal waters stirred in a month, 2 months? Why? And the Lord smacked me in the face and said, Brother Dave, you're not doing your job. He says, listen, you're supposed to present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, you're willing to tell people all about me. You're willing to tell them about that wonderful Savior that you preach about so freely in the pulpit, yet when you're out in the world, you're not so free with. Somebody help me. And as I read these verses, well, Brother Dave, this is your life first. But you don't live your life first. You don't talk about your life first. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more I got to thinking about this, we're not doing our job. We, me too. Not doing our job. So many times the Lord says, you ought to tell somebody about me. That person right there, you ought to tell. And so many times I say, oh man, if I do that, I'm going to run late. Come on, somebody help me this morning. I know. You see, you thought that this is going to be rah-rah. Of course, Sunday school never seems to be anymore. I think that's why people don't come. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you've got something that 98% of the world does not have. I don't believe the 25% of the people of the world are saved notion. I don't believe that. I believe that maybe 2%, maybe even less than that, know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The devil has done a fantastic job lying to the world. And what's amazing to me is the preachers of the devil are lying to the world. I'm talking about people like your Joel Osteen. This is going to make people mad. I'm talking about Joyce Myers. I'm talking about all these people that won't talk about Jesus Christ dying for them. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, those people not telling the truth, and we cry about that, whine about that, and moan about that. But what do? When it comes time for us to tell somebody the truth, what do? Can you imagine 85,000 people coming to Bethel? Well, preacher, if you change your preaching and start being a little nicer... Well, you're not nice when your kid goes to reach for the burner on the stove. You're not nice when danger is imminent for your child. Why should I be nice when danger is imminent for us? I believe revival has begun at Bethel Baptist Church, but I worry about the spirit being quenched because we won't get on board with serving God. We won't get on board. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do, going and knocking on a door. It's not an easy thing to do. By the way, let me help you out. And this should... It wasn't easy for my buddy to ask me if I was saved. It wasn't easy. A long-haired hippie with an earring in his ear. And that friend coming to me and said, man, you need to get saved. By the way, I was already saved. Just wasn't acting like it. You ever known anybody like that? He said, man, you need to get saved. I told him, I am saved. I couldn't tell. That wasn't easy for him. But I sure am glad he did. That one statement changed my life because I wasn't living for the Lord that I claimed. And I know it's not easy to do that, and I know you've got lives, and I know you've got things coming, and I know you've got things in the way, but let me ask you a question. What is more important than the cause of Jesus Christ? Ask yourself that question. What is more important? What is more important than the cause of Jesus Christ? Everything that he's done for you, your job, your work, your living, your sustenance, everything that Christ has done, what is more important than living for him? What is more important than running bus routes? What is more important than going soul winning? What is more important than passing out gospel literature? What is more important than coming to church? What is more important than coming to Sunday school? What is more important than reading your Bible? What is more important? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because it'll take God's mercy for you to serve him. That's right. I didn't say it was easy. I never said that it was easy. But the suffering's worth it. And I'm preaching to me. I'm not coming out and saying, well, you guys, I serve the Lord all the time. You need to serve God like I do. No. I'm going to tell you, there's people in this church serve God better than I do. I have got to come to a realization that if we are not doing the Lord's business, what happens when he comes back? He's coming. I'm going to tell you he's coming. And his coming's right around the corner. All the stupidity that's going on in the world right now, you don't think Christ is coming? It's got to be just a matter of time before he comes. And my thought is this. Quit talking about the rapture and start talking about what we're doing now. I'll never forget, we went to Rogers Flea Market, I think it was, preacher and I. We come across a fellow that was selling videos. And preacher says, hey, how you doing? I want to give you this track. And he passes out tracks everywhere he goes. I wish I could be like that. I don't know what in the world keeps my tracks in my pocket. I don't know. But I do pass them out, but just not like him. And I want to be like that. I really do. I've been praying that the Lord would make me more like that, where the Lord is on the tip of my tongue all the time. I hope the Lord, you pray that. I'm glad somebody had the Lord on the tip of their tongue when they talked to me. But we went to this fella, and he's sitting there, and he's got long hair, and whatever, it is what it is. The preacher starts talking to him. He says, oh, I'm saved. I graduated from Massillon Bible College. The preacher says, well, what you doing? Well, it was obvious he was selling videos at a flea market. He says, what are you doing? And the fellow looked right back at him without even a glimpse, without even a thought, and said, I'm just waiting until Jesus comes. Now, wait a minute. Be very careful. Be very careful. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we willing to allow ourselves to pack up the world and say it's too far gone anyhow? I've heard that. I've heard preachers say, can't have revival anymore. They say, oh, I can't have revival. The world's crazy. Well, you don't think the world was crazy when they were cutting Christians' heads off? They had a pretty good revival at Pentecost. I got to ask you, it ain't like it was back in the day. We don't suffer persecution. Come on now. Come on, Christian, be with me. You don't suffer persecution. I don't get a whole lot of doors slammed in my face when I go to talk to them about the Lord. Once in a while. And by the way, it's getting to be fun. Which person is going to slam their door in my face today? And I got to be honest with you. I don't like it when people come to my door. I run and hide, turn the lights off. I don't want them to come to my door. I'm not like most people that can't wait to open their door to Jehovah's Witnesses and preach to them. I've done that before. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Hand them out a piece of paper through the crack of the door and shut it. You're not supposed to bid them Godspeed. The Bible talks about that. You're not supposed to invite them in. You're not supposed to give them tea and crumpets. You're supposed to say, get off my porch. Read the Bible. I'm wondering, though, what are we doing? I'm talking about me and you. We're going to talk about the service of the Lord and what we can do in the next few weeks. What can we do? What can we do? The world's gone. We can't have revival. The world's gone. I disagree with that. I think we can have revival one more time before the Lord comes back. I think we can have a sweeping revival. Why can't we have a sweeping revival? Have we given up? Have we gotten to the point, Christian, where we don't believe God's powerful enough again? Are you serious? You don't think God's powerful enough? Wait till the rapture happens. You'll see the power of for him to bring up. He's going to look down and say, man, Brother Dave, I wish you'd have put the Twinkie down. I'm going to have to really think about this one. That's why he got rid of Hostess, because I was just eating too many Twinkies. God said, you know what? That's enough, preacher. I can't. You're done. They're gone now. He said, well, another company bought them. They're coming back. They won't be the same. You're going to get nasty cream inside. You know you are. I've eaten my last Twinkie. I know that I have. I'm not going to let some Japanese company fill me up with Twinkies. Let me show you something along this vein. As we talk about serving the Lord, I want you to read the second verse here, and we'll go back to the first verse. Be not conformed to this world. Now, automatically, I want you to think about this. Automatically, what are your first thoughts when you read that scripture? Your first thoughts are, stay out of pornography, stay out of drinking, stay out of drugs, stay out of the world. Let me understand. Let me tell you something, though. That is not the world that you need to be afraid of, although you need to be afraid of that. The world that you need to be afraid of is the world that is lukewarm towards the things of Christ. That's the world you need to be afraid of. The world that is taking over right now is this religious crowd. Take your pick. But this religious crowd that tells you everything's getting better, this religious crowd that is telling you Christ would never talk about sin or be angry. Well, let me take you to the money changers' tables and talk about Christ. Don't feed me that line that Christ is pleased with everything that's going on right now. Don't feed me this line. Let me tell you, this is what's happening. The devil has done such a good job of making all the other versions in the whole wide world that people gave. We don't even know what the Bible says anymore. We have no idea what Christ wants us to learn. We have no idea what the Bible says. I would to God I had enough conversations that I could get a dollar worth on every one of them of the people that tell me, well, this is what the Bible says, and that's nowhere in the Bible. They tell me, well, every sin is like every other sin. No, it's not. Because the Lord does classify them. There are sins that are an abomination to God. Get mad at me all you want to. Read your Bible. And what's amazing to me is that we think that lying is the same thing as child molestation. I'm sorry. They're not the same. Yes, sin is a sin, but let me explain something to you. Lying's no good. I can have a liar in my house. I don't want a child molester in my house. You get mad at me all you want to. Why don't we get right with God and say, listen, they need Christ. They need Christ. We have the world. Wait a minute now. The world is telling us what this says. Stay with me now. Don't you leave me. Servant of Christ, the world is telling you what this Bible says. The world is telling you what salvation is. The world is telling you what serving Christ is. The world is telling you what sin is. The world is telling you should never judge anybody. That's not true. You need to judge people according to what this Bible says. Amen. Not being judgmental. Letting the Bible be the manual of judgment. Let me give you a good example. This is so simple. If a thief comes into this church, are they forgiven? Sure. Absolutely they're forgiven. Are you kidding me? Can a thief go to heaven? Well, absolutely. One was on the cross. Amen? So sure, thieves can go to heaven. Can I ask you a question? Are you going to let the thief take up your offering? If you do, you're an idiot. The thief is going to walk out with bulging pants like this, and you're going to see $10,000 out of your offering. Can the thief be forgiven? Sure. But why would you want to put the thief in that position? Can the thief come out of being a thief? You better believe they can. Let me ask you a question. The big time, big name, wonderful, God-like preacher that committed adultery, okay? That one that committed adultery, can he be forgiven? Absolutely. Can he be restored? Sure. He can never pastor again. Not according to Brother Dave. According to the Bible. We're not making the judgment, Brother Edwards. This is. Why can't you have a preacher that's been divorced? Amen? When the Bible says a husband of one wife, that takes away a crowd. That takes away the queer crowd. They can't be preachers. You're being judgmental. It takes Joyce Myers, I think, out of the picture. Jury's out. She can't be a preacher. Can she go out and, now listen, wait a minute now, in a pulpit. Ladies, you can preach. Ladies can preach. They can take Sunday school classes for women and children. They can take Sunday school class. They can go out and preach the word to a world that is dying on a porch, telling them about Christ. But don't you dare think a woman's going to come up in this pulpit and say, "Thus saith the Lord," or Joyce Meyer, "Thus saith the Lord." Because that's what this says, not what I say. A husband of one wife. You're not going to like this. I'm going to give it to you anyhow. Peter Ruckman ought not be preaching. A lot of you like him. And he's an advocate for the King James Bible. But he's on his third wife. He should have stepped down a long time ago. But what he'll do is this. He'll interpret that for you saying it's a husband of one wife. But the at a time does not exist in the Bible. But, wait a minute now, but, Christian, we're living in a day where you're allowing the world to tell you what this says. You're allowing the world to tell you what this says. You got the King James Bible in your hand and you're allowing the world to tell you what it says. You're allowing your friend to tell you what it says. You're allowing your friend to say, "Oh, the Lord would never do that." Read your Bible. The Lord did a lot of "I would never do's." We get to a point, though, where I'm talking about service, by the way. And I don't know how I got on this. But I'm not going to allow the world to tell me what this says. I'm going to allow this to tell me what this says. And I challenge you, Christian, don't allow yourself to be duped into thinking that Mr. Ballard's got everything. I've got all your answers. I don't have your answers. This has your answers. Get inside this Bible and prove me. Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now. There's one time I preached a message. I got to one point and I was wrong. I was just wrong, and I preached it. I was wrong. I get home and my wife let me have it. Wait a minute. I'm glad she did. And I fought her for a while until, "You're right. What am I going to do?" She didn't allow her husband to tell her what this said. She didn't allow me, her associate pastor, to tell her what this said. You know what she did? She allowed this to tell her what this said. And she came to me and says, "Honey, can I help you?" She said, "That's not what that says." "Yes, it is." "No, honey, it's really not. Can I show you?" And I looked. And make a long story short, the next service I was apologizing to the church because I preached it wrong. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Are you going to allow your pastors to tell you what this says? Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You've got good preachers here. But that let me in on a very important thing in my life. I'm not flawless. And neither are you. But this is. And if you'll get inside of this, we're gonna study serving Christ. And we're not going to allow the world to tell us how we're going to serve Christ. We're going to allow the Bible to tell us how we're going to serve Christ, or tell us how we should serve Christ. What should we do? The Bible tells us. What should we do? Why are we in these Bible calendars? Why am I so excited about how many people are reading them? And by the way, I'm losing the compliments now, by the way. They're pretty much gone. Now all I'm getting is, oh my goodness. It's hard. I told you it was hard. Now, you was all excited, but I knew it's hard. Stay with it. Stay with it. I've had people ask me, and I'll tell you this real quick. We're almost done. I had people tell me, I just feel like I'm reading it just to keep up. Let me help you. I don't care. Read it just to keep up. I don't care. I don't care why you're reading it. I just want you to read it. I don't care why my I don't care why my son cleans his room. I'm just glad he did. Well, I clean my room, Daddy, because I love you. I clean my room, Daddy, because I'm worried about you paddling me. Well, I don't like your motive. Leave your room dirty. Does that ever happen, moms and dads? No. Clean your room. I'm glad you're scared of the paddle. Let me tell you something. I don't care why you're reading the Bible. Read the Bible. Amen. You're going to have days that you don't like it. Your flesh doesn't like it. Your spirit's got pom-poms going, woohoo! But your flesh is saying, man, this is boring. Read it anyhow. Because in here will teach you what Christ wants you to know. Don't rely on the pulpit to be your only means of finding out what Christ wants you to know. Don't be uneducated about your Bible like America's uneducated about their vote today. Educate yourself, Christian. You've got to know. Listen, what happens if we start going underground? What are you going to know? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It didn't say, Brother Dave, your message have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Your wonderful lessons that you're teaching, which has never come out of any of your mouths, is what I'm holding in my heart that I might not sin against thy word. You better have this, because the world has no idea what this says, but they'll tell you what it says. They'll tell you they've got this wonderful culminated idea of what it says. They have no idea what it says. You better have an idea so you don't get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You get in this, you realize that you must be born again to go to heaven. Not the 12 sacraments. They don't appear in here. Purgatory does not appear in this Bible. Does not appear. And I'm not even talking just the word. I'm talking about even the thought. Nowhere. I had a fella ask me just the other day, Preacher, I believe the Bible teaches us about soul sleep. I said, what? Well, I believe the Bible teaches us that when you die, I believe that you go into the ground and your soul sleeps until the Lord calls you back. I said, well, sir, when Jesus went up Mount Transfiguration, was talking to Moses, was Moses awake or asleep? I said, sir, when Jesus arose and the people were walking around the city, were they asleep or awake? I don't understand that. Where do you see that? Well, it says, and those that sleep, God will bring with him. So there's the problem. You took a word that means have died and turned it into sleeping. And there's a problem. But as a Christian, wait a minute now. We laugh because it's funny. Do we have Scripture to back up our thought? Do we have Scripture to back up the insanity of that teaching? You got to get it. You got to know what your Bible said. You don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. Do you know that? Well, we teach it here, but do you know that? Well, sure, the thief never got baptized. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord didn't allow him to come down from it. Hey, go find you the nearest lake. I'll wait here. Today, now, you shall be with me in paradise. That lets us know that you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But the Catholics will tell you, well, it rained that day. Didn't you see the darkness? That wasn't storm clouds. But do you know that? As a Christian, you've got to be educated. To be a servant of God, you've got to know what the Master wants. That's why I'm glad you care about reading your Bible. That's why I'm glad you care about which Bible to read. Which, there's only one. All the rest are books with pages, but not the Word of God. So as we start to talk about this, we're going to be in Matthew next week, talking about what you can do. I'm excited about it because I'm going to tell you, this summer should be the best summer we've ever had at Bethel Baptist Church. We're ready to bust open here. The devil's paying enough attention to this place. The devil is paying enough attention to this. I said the devil is paying an awful lot of attention to Bethel Baptist Church. Something big has got to be coming. Because the devil's trying to get you to not think you can serve, to not be educated in your Bible, to not think about what you can do for God. The devil wants you to say it's over. I'll allow the Lord to tell me that when he says, come up hither. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please let us understand how important we are. Oh, I know we're wretched sinners. I understand that, but God, you saw something. You saw something in each and every one of us that was worth dying for. You saw something that was in each and every one of us that we had something. We had something. God, you didn't just save us to enjoy salvation. You saved us, Lord, so we could learn about you, get your wisdom, get your intelligence, and Lord, get your mind. The Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. And that mind's all about service. Lord God, help us to realize just how important we are in what we do in every day, in every step. Lord, please help us. Lord, help me along the way to become a better servant for you. Oh God, I know I don't have a lot. But Lord, your Bible teaches me, and we're going to talk about this next week. It's not about what I have. It's about what you can do with what I have. Lord God, help us today. And Lord, please heal my pastor. Oh, God, we need him here. I don't understand it. Lord, please help us. We need him strong. We need him 100%. Lord, please help us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll break.